Turn again, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. There is a verse that I want to draw your attention to tonight. It's verse 25. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." There are three tremendous truths that come to the fore in this particular verse. First of all, there is the truth to be considered, and that is that God speaketh. We're going to have a look at that. And then secondly, there is a command to be obeyed. And that command to be obeyed is that you see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And then lastly, we look at the warning that is to be heeded. And the warning comes out very plainly. "For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." There is the great truth to be considered here, and that is God speaks to men and women and to mankind. He has done so in the past. If we take this world's beginning at creation, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, on quite a number of occasions, "And God said," "and God said, let there be light," or "let there be this," "let there be the other," but all the while, God spoke the word into creation, the word of creation, and brought the world into being. We read in Psalm 33, verse 9, that he commanded, and it stood fast. He spake, and it was done. And time again, as you read the Old Testament particularly, you'll come across this phrase that prefaces what God is going to teach us. And here's the phrase: "Thus saith the Lord." So, from the Old Testament account, we are told that God speaks. Now, if you come to Hebrews chapter 1, the very opening section of this book, we read in verses 1 and 2 these words: "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." So we're seeing very plainly that God has spoken in the past. But let me say something. He does so now at this very time. Now, that's not to say that he adds to the inspired word. He doesn't. But he does speak to individual men and women. For instance, whenever the word of God is presented to people, when it's preached or sung, God speaks. Whenever you and I read the word of God ourselves, God speaks again to us. He speaks into our inner being. The Bible tells us that we have the law written on our hearts, which is responsible for our conscience, meanwhile accusing or excusing us. So God speaks through conscience. God speaks through events that happen in society. Some outstanding events, some traumatic events, and God uses those things to speak to men and women if they will but hear. And then again, our own personal circumstances can be a wake-up call from God to speak to us, or the still small voice of God speaking to us in another manner. Or a fellow Christian could speak to us, and it'd be the word of God speaking to us. And let me add, the Spirit of God speaks. The Spirit of God is a person. Time and time again we have seen that here. But let me say to you that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is what it is said in the second verse: "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith." The Spirit of God is speaking. And then we are told in Matthew and in Luke's Gospels, where people who would be healed before the authorities to be persecuted, not to worry about what they would say, for the Spirit of God would teach them in that same hour what they would say. So God speaks to people today. Now let me just pause at this juncture and say that this is evidence unmistakable evidence of the veracity and the vitality and the might and power of our God. In fact, it's what distinguishes him from idols. Of course, we know that while there are idols, they really don't exist. Idols are little images or large images set up to some unknown God. But there are no idols, strictly speaking, because there are no other gods apart from Jehovah. Listen to Psalm 115 from verse 4 to 7. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. But our God speaks, and that puts him in a class away from everyone else, or from these idols. God speaks. He's the living God. He's the Almighty God. And men and women, let me say it to you tonight. He speaks unmistakably. Whenever the babe Samuel, well, he was more than a babe, he was just a little lad of a fella. When he went to bed one night, and he was there in the tabernacle with Eli, Samuel thought Eli was calling him, and he ran into Eli, and he says, "What is it you want?" He says, "I didn't want you, son." He says, "But you called me." And that happened a couple of times, and Eli had sense enough and discernment enough to know, this must be God calling this wee fella. And he says, whenever you go back again, and if you hear this call, Samuel, you just say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." God made it plain to Samuel that he was speaking to him. And if you read 1 Samuel chapter 3, you'll see all the things that God told that wee fella. What he bypassed the priest, the experienced priest on, he let the wee fella know. But he spoke. He spoke unmistakably to Samuel. And let me say that he spoke graciously, or he speaks graciously. Listen to what he says. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, can you find anything more gracious than that? That God speaks. This is the truth to be considered. God speaks. And men and women and young people, I make bold to say that he speaks to you and me in these services week by week. What are you doing about it? What is your response to him with regard to him speaking? Well, that's the first thing we want to notice tonight. The truth to be considered. God speaketh. It's in the present tense. It's not something that God has done in the past and doesn't bother with now. He's continually speaking. And as one great Christian leader of many centuries ago said, that whenever the Word speaks, he's talking about the Bible, God speaks, and how true it is. But notice secondly, not only the truth we are to consider here, but there is the command to obey. Notice the wording, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." And let me say first of all a word about those people who did refuse him. Take Adam and Eve, first of all. Let's go back away to the beginning of our Bibles and the beginning of this world's history. That was a paradise in the Garden of Eden. And God came to Adam and Eve, and he said to them, "Now look, of every tree here in the garden, you can freely eat. But of the tree in the midst of the garden, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. For the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." It couldn't have been any clearer. You can have your choice of all the trees in the garden to eat from, as many as you will, but don't touch this particular tree. Sometime later, the devil came on the scene, and he enticed Adam and Eve, and put doubts in their mind about God and about his word, with the result that they blatantly disobeyed God and they ate the forbidden fruit. They refused him that speaketh. Do you remember the man called Pharaoh, one of the great mighty leaders in the world, Egypt being a vast nation at that particular time. Moses was commissioned by God to go into Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go that they may serve thee." And time again that happened. And even though Pharaoh disobeyed and God sent many a judgment, that man, Pharaoh, was adamant in his resistance that he refused him that speaketh. Again, in Old Testament times, God's own people were guilty of the very same thing. We're told that God said to them, "Oh, if you'd only have hearkened unto me when I spoke unto you, then such and such would not have happened. I gave you up to your own heart's lusts." But the point that we're thinking of is, they refused him that speaketh. It happened to Judah, way at the end of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. We are told that God spake through the prophets, but they misused the prophets of God. They despised the messengers of the God. They turned themselves away from what God was saying. They refused him that speaketh. We learn again in Acts chapter 28, whenever we leave Paul in the book of Acts, the end of the book of Acts, that he's under house arrest. He's a house prisoner, but he had this new message, and the Judaizers, the religious Jews, were hearing about it, and there was a day set apart for Paul and his quarters to meet all of these religious leaders that would come along to hear what he had to say. And he taught them all day the things concerning the kingdom of God. The Bible says some believed and some didn't. And if you read the end of chapter 28 in the book of Acts, you'll see that God says, "We'll turn to the Gentiles. You have ignored what God was saying." You remember the Lord Jesus Christ on another occasion. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children as a hen gathereth her young under her wings, and ye would not." You remember in the days of Stephen, whenever Stephen conducted his great defense again before the Jewish Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, we are told that he finished his message, or at least it was finished for him. He said, "Ye have always resisted the Spirit of God." And the Bible says, they ran upon him and put their fingers in their ears. They wanted to stop their hearing, and then they lifted up stones and put him to death. But they had refused God, who was speaking through his servant at that particular time. Way back in the Old Testament, and this is for all time, listen to what God says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, words that are so striking. Verse 24, "Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof." In other words, ye have refused him that speaketh, is what he is saying. How is it with you, my dear hearer, as God comes to you in the Word, Christian or non-Christian, speaking to you about certain matters? Have you closed your heart and your ears to his counsel, to his pleadings, to his instruction? Well, how do we do this? How do we refuse him that speaketh? By refusing to respond positively to God's Word. That's one way. For instance, there are 10 commandments in the Decalogue. And those 10 commandments have come under terrible pressure by governments and by society. They want to wipe them right out of existence. Well, let's examine ourselves. Do we, as we think of the 10 commandments, ignore God and just go on in our sinful lifestyle? There are those commandments. Then again, there is that commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1 when he was just beginning his gospel ministry. And this is what he said: "Repent and be converted." Repent and believe the gospel are his words. Repent and believe the gospel. That was his message. And as I've sought to show so often here, repentance means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. It takes us away from our sinful life and it brings us to yield our lives and to trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. If you've been hearing that week by week, it may be in family night services, maybe in youth services, maybe in ordinary Sunday services, but up to now, you haven't done a thing about it. You're going on in the same old way, hardening your heart and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a case of refusing him that speaketh. There are two ordinances in the Bible. Only two, the Lord's Supper and baptism. And I address myself to those that whom it concerns. God says with regard to the Lord's Supper, this do in remembrance of me. Are you refusing him that speaketh as a Christian and never as a born-again believer sit down at the Lord's table with fellow Christians to remember the Lord as he has specifically directed us to do? Are you refusing him that speaketh in that matter? The other ordinance is baptism. And I know that there are children growing up here who have, they may have been dedicated as babies, but they have never thought of baptism. My dear friend, the Bible teaches there's one ordinance of baptism, and it's to be obeyed. It's not a showpiece. In fact, it's part of the Great Commission. If you read the end of Matthew chapter 28, we are told there to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth, to teach all nations, to make disciples of all nations, and to teach the people what the Lord has taught them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's not to be treated lightly. Those two sacraments, those two ordinances are ordinances of the Christian church, and they're to be obeyed by Christian people. What has your response been as God has spoken about those matters? But then again, we can do this by stifling conscience. We can refuse the Lord by stifling our conscience. God comes to us about a wee matter, and God and ourselves know what it is. But we say, no. And you can't give a rational explanation. And the Lord nudges us a wee bit more. And we feel, yes, I've got to do something here. And a wee bit more. And we say, if not verbally, then audibly, no. We have stifled our conscience. We have refused him that has spoken to us about that matter. Now, I want you to notice very carefully here the emphasis that's on this command. Notice verse 25 again. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. He's not only saying, refuse not him that speaketh. That would be strong enough. But he says, make it your business. Give it your special concern. See to it that ye don't refuse him that speaketh. This is God's voice. And it's up to us to ascertain what he's saying and to obey him. This is a command to be obeyed. Ladies and gentlemen, each one of us knows ourselves if God is speaking to us about matters. It's up to us not to disobey this command and refuse him that speaketh. There is the truth to be considered. God speaks. There's the command to obey, to be obeyed. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And notice lastly, the warning to be heeded. Well, what a warning it is. Let's read the verse again. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. God is using an argument here from the lesser to the greater. Now, the lesser is not unimportant. Let me stress that, because it's God in both cases. But what he's saying is, whenever God spoke on earth, in this particular instance, he was speaking through Moses. And if you read the Pentateuch, or go from Exodus right through to Deuteronomy, that part of it, those four books, you'll find that time and time again, God spoke to Moses very specifically. God spoke to the nation on earth through this man on earth, Moses. There were the Ten Commandments, we've already mentioned that. There were quite a number of other commandments that were relevant to the children of Israel. There were other general laws that if society would pay heed to, it would be a better place, not only for Israel, but for us all. But time and time again, God spoke to the people. Jeremiah was another, quite a lot, but I'm singling out these two people because of the after effects. But if you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll see time and time again, Jeremiah warned the nation in its apostasy what was going to happen. God spoke, but he was speaking on earth. He was speaking to a man on earth. Now he's saying, you can refuse him, and you did. And terrible things happened. How much more if we refuse him that spake from heaven? Who was him that spake from heaven? Well, again, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the center of this book of Hebrews. And we are told, we read that first chapter, the first couple of verses, we needn't go back to them again, but that God in sundry times past and in diverse manners, that is different ways, spake unto us by the prophets, that's the Old Testament scriptures, hath in these last days, that's from the first coming of Christ to the second, spoken unto us by his Son. Now, if the people on earth refused Moses or refused God speaking through Moses and suffered immensely, how much more we who are listening to Christ in his word, if we refuse him, how much more are we going to be punished? This is what the argument is all about. Now let's notice the consequences of ignoring this warning. Again, we must go back to the verse. See that ye refuse him, not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. I want you just to think for a moment in Moses' time. There was a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, led by Korah and Dathan and Abihu. And we are told that they wanted to take over the priesthood. They were accusing Moses and Aaron of being dictators because they were simply emphasizing and teaching the law of God. And Moses took this matter to the Lord in prayer. He realized it was a crisis he could not avoid. He said, all right. He said, this is it. If I'm not speaking God's will, then let these men die just in ordinary circumstances. But if I am speaking God's will, let them be visited after a special way. And that company of people and 250 others of them, they came to resist Moses and Aaron, and the ground opened up and swallowed them up and their families. And the word that's used for where they went is not only the ground, but it was the unseen place, the word that's used for hell. Went alive down into hell. What punishment. Whenever there was the doubt and the rising up against Joshua and Caleb and Moses and Aaron, whenever the 12 spies came back from Kadesh Barnea, and whenever Joshua and Caleb tried to quell the uprising, God stepped in wrath and slew thousands of them. And as a result, kept those that were 20 years and over, that were unbelievers, kept them out of the promised land. The only people who got in 20 years and over were Joshua and Caleb. The nation perished in those 40 years in the wilderness. What a judgment. I mentioned Jeremiah. He warned time and time again that the city was going to be overthrown by the Babylonians, by the Chaldeans. And that happened, if you read the book of Jeremiah, and the end of 2 Chronicles, and the end of 2 Kings. That happened. The nation was taken into captivity. Now you think of those horrible judgments, severe judgments. And God says, if they escape not, that refuse the voice of him that spake on earth, how are we going to escape that refuse the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ through his servants and through his word, who is now in heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, I put it to you tonight. In this very epistle, the answer is, in chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We read that when the Lord comes back, he's going to say to a certain company of people, he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Are you going to be one of that number? Would you not hearken to what he says tonight? Would you not receive what he says? Turn away from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who was given for you on the cross at Calvary. He laid down his life for ransom for us and shed his blood for us. Rose, died and rose again, and he's able to save to the uttermost you, if you'll come unto God by him. The minister was visiting a member of an attender in his congregation once. He was a nobleman, this particular gentleman, and he loved music. And he sought to get the minister to appreciate his music. And he asked him to come around specifically for that purpose. The minister wasn't particularly interested in music, but he was compelled and constrained upon to go. So the man, the nobleman who was good at the music, he went through the paces on the instrument, and the minister appeared nonchalant, not really interested. And the nobleman said, where are your ears that you can't really appreciate music like that? And the minister said, you have gone to great pains to try to get me to appreciate your music. But he said, I have better music than you. And Sunday by Sunday, I'm sounding out that music when I'm preaching the truths of the gospel and pointing people to Jesus Christ. And I have watched you, and I have said in my heart, whenever I'm preaching, where are his ears? Referring to the nobleman himself. Where are your ears that you cannot appreciate the glorious strains of the gospel of Christ? Where are your ears tonight, ladies and gentlemen and young people? Some of you could preach this gospel to me as far as the wording is concerned. You know it so well. But it has never affected your heart or life. Is it not time you listened to the Lord Jesus? That you opened your ears? Take heed to what he's saying. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, because of the sore judgments that will fall upon you at that great day, or whenever ye die, because you hardened your heart and closed your ears to the speaking voice of the Lord Jesus in the gospel.